The BBC presents Gordon Jackson in The Same River Twice, a serial thriller in 8 parts by Edward Boyd. At the request of his mother-in-law, Johnny Maxon is searching for his estranged wife, Julia, missing for 3 months. So far, the search has discovered a dead girl, Sandra Bailey, who has killed herself because of Tom Armstrong, a friend of Julia, and one of the last people to see her. 2 strong-armed men almost beat up Johnny in mistake for Armstrong, and the police, in the person of Inspector Wardlaw, are becoming interested in Julia's whereabouts. Johnny is reporting back to his mother-in-law when he gets a message from Wardlaw. The Same River Twice, Part 4.
He wants me to meet him at the police station.
Did he say why, Johnny? Did he?
Yes.
Why does he want you along there, Johnny?
He says he has a body in the mortuary he wants me to identify. The mortuary was like all mortuaries, a place for filing the dead. Wardlaw walked swiftly ahead, silent, until he showed me what had been brought there to be shown.
Do you know him?
Yes.
When did you last see him?
This afternoon.
A man called and gave his name as Mr. Nemesis. That was you.
You're being very sneaky, Inspector. You obviously know all about it.
I have a weakness for confirmation. And I must say, I didn't expect much in that way from you.
Me being a confirmed cop hater.
Just so.
Somebody leaned pretty heavily on him.
Somebody did, just that.
Where did it happen?
In his office. 2 men walked in wearing silk stocking masks.
Exit, Tom Armstrong.
There's something going on here I don't know about and should know.
The old dark number again.
The dark number. You're beginning to bother me, Maxon.
Join the club.
Wherever you go, you trail violence behind you. That is bad enough, but what is worse is that you don't appear to care.
You have no right to say that, Wardlaw.
Is that the case now?
People create their own violences or the potential for them. Do you think this is the right place for this conversation?
No, perhaps you're quite right. Come with me. You know, I remember the first time I was in one of these places nearly stopped me being a policeman.
Nothing stops you being a policeman. You either are or you aren't.
Here we are. I find the name you gave to this girl in the office this afternoon very interesting. You said you were Mr. Nemesis. Now, what exactly did you mean by that?
It was a gag, nothing more.
Bit of a sour gag in view of what happened later.
Are you getting at me now for not foreseeing the future?
I was wondering if perhaps you didn't foresee it only too well.
Inspector, we are not all seventh sons of seventh sons.
Nor am I, myself. How long had you known the deceased, Tom Armstrong?
About 20 years.
A good relationship?
Beautiful, clean and uncomplicated. We detested each other.
Why?
The usual reason.
A woman?
Yes.
Your wife?
Yes.
You're very frugal with your information.
When I was writing 1 million years ago, I was noted for the precise economy of my style.
I prefer something more fulsome myself.
All right. When I came to town about 20 years ago, Julia and Tom Armstrong were going around together. As a matter of fact, they were engaged.
Then you came on the scene and the engagement was broken off.
Trailing violence even then.
Just so.
Mark you, I would have detested him even without the Julia bit. He was everything I loathe in practically every way.
Go on.
Well, he was a big war hero. You know that kind. Never managed to concede that the war's over.
Was he a big war hero then?
Well, perhaps. Perhaps not. Whoever bothers to check on these things.
So you were jealous of him because of your wife and because of his war record?
Can you be jealous of somebody you despise?
Why do you despise him?
Because he was a cipher, an obelisk. He contributed nothing. He was well off, but his father had made the money and the business ran itself. He was a monstrous bore. The kind of rich hanger-on you find around what are laughingly called cultural circles. He bought his attitudes every week from the approved reviews, finally thought he could buy anything.
Somebody else was buying, too.
Sorry, I'm not with you.
Somebody bought 2 hard men to beat him up, and they beat him to death.
Not guilty.
You know something about this, Maxon, and it's your duty to pass it on.
You're putting the frighteners on me, Inspector.
Why did that girl kill herself in your wife's flat, Maxim?
You asked that before.
And I'll ask it again.
Maybe the pills were lying about in the flat. Maybe it's as simple as that.
And maybe it isn't. Kids nowadays have no trouble getting hold of pills, if they want them. One of our more thriving industries. Did your wife remain friendly with Tom Armstrong?
Very. Julia saw to that. She could never let any one of them go.
Would there be anything at all between this Tom Armstrong and the girl who killed herself?
The only thing they have in common, as far as I'm concerned, is that they're both dead.
One murder, one suicide.
If you must be precise.
Sometimes you can become too precise.
Strange remark from a policeman.
There was a wee man came to lecture to us last year. His subject was suicide. And he said that no one ever killed himself who didn't first of all want to kill someone else.
I've heard that too.
It just kind of stuck in my mind.
So you're suggesting that this girl really wanted to murder Julia?
It's a theory.
It is indeed.
Any word about your wife?
Not a whisper.
You don't seem unduly worried.
For two reasons. One, I don't worry about Julia anymore. Two, dropping out of sight for weeks at a time is something Julia's good at.
I think it's time you had some skilled professional help in looking for her.
Please yourself. Personally, I don't see why.
Well, you see, Maxon, you're not doing very well at it, for one thing. And for another, I've got to convince myself that she is not mixed up in a murder.
I left him outside in the street. A quiet, dangerous man. A man obsessed with his dark number. The crimes that were committed and that he never knew about. The wind was like a blade now and I shivered. Not altogether with the cold. I was thinking of Patsy and Joey and the boy, Alistair. The boy with the twisted leg. The boy who had hired the killers. And I suddenly felt sorry for them, knowing that Wardlaw was already breathing down all their necks. I couldn't bear the thought of going back to the flat and its huge, hollow emptiness and the echoes of 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. Whatever became of us and that world we had on a string, whatever became of that world? Whatever became of the string? All at once there was a little bar I remembered from some dead evening. It had been given plastic surgery, and the lights were low to hide that fact. People sat around, as undetailed as their own shadows. Then someone called my name, and there he was, Pete Hodgson, with his face that was as Irish as the great potato famine. His girl Linda was with him. She'd been going around with him ever since going around was invented.
Johnny! Sit down, boy, and have a bevy.
Hello, Pete. Also Linda.
Hello, Johnny.
It's great to see you.
Yeah, why aren't you working somewhere tonight, Pete?
Come off it, Johnny. He plays golf all day and trumpet all night. I only get to see him by appointment.
What are you drinking, Johnny?
What's the specialty of the house?
Man, you don't want to drink that. That blows holes in your pocketbook.
All right, then I'll settle for the wine of the country.
A favourite. Three whiskies, Dennis.
Is there anybody out there in that gloom or just voices?
Are you shouting hope for the best?
And how are things with you both?
You mean personally, financially, or morally?
Morally, we can forget. Personally, you're both looking great. That leaves financially.
Let's put it this way. My bank manager's building a new bank.
Work, work, work. He's become a right work beast.
Except for the occasional bevy. Man, the last time we met, you remember when I was playing that gig in Paris, France? Oh. What happened?
You got stoned out of your trumpet playing mine.
Didn't I just? What a night that was.
Oh, so long since I love.
She's a living doll.
And that's all I got from him for weeks after he came back. Solange this and Solange that.
So what? I came back, didn't I?
What brings you back, Johnny?
I'm looking for Julia.
Why?
Because she seems to have gone and got lost.
And what are you going to do when you find her?
That's a pretty weird question, Pete.
Forget I asked it. three whiskies looming out the darkness. Oh, if they cut the light down much more, they'll have to make the grog phosphorescent. thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers. All the best, Johnny.
Johnny, did this mug here say anything to you that night he was blooted in Paris?
Oh, he said all sorts of things.
I mean about Julia.
Was there some terrible thing he could have said?
No, but sometimes people can make mountains out of molehills.
I never actually saw it done.
Look, it's as easy as this. Julia's mother asked me to come over here because she had a problem. Mm. I came over because I'm fond of the old lady. Not unexpectedly, the problem turns out to be Julia. The last date anyone actually saw her was the 23rd of October. Tom Armstrong had lunch with her that day.
Here? How about Armstrong getting done today?
It couldn't have happened to a nicer person.
Oh, Johnny, he was nice.
He was a nully.
He was beautiful. Distinguished.
Get the police.
Oh, you don't have to. They're already there.
Is this something to do with Julia?
I had a nasty little session today with a detective who thinks it has.
Tom Armstrong was mad about her. Always was.
Was he seeing a lot of her, do you know?
A bit. At least so the talk went.
Oh, we wouldn't really know, Johnny. You see, Linda and me got kind of dropped by Julia after the pair of you broke up.
She told me one night we were taking your side. It wasn't actually true. I mean, we liked you both.
Tell me what else the talk said.
Oh, Johnny.
Look, I've got to know. I'd sooner hear it from you and Linda than from somebody who got a kick out of telling me.
Flattery will get you everywhere. Ah, well. You tell him, chick.
Well, it seems that this past year, Julia couldn't see enough of Tom. Kept running after him, kept phoning him day and night.
Man, I bet he loved that.
Well, you're not being fair, Johnny. That wasn't Julia's style at all. Whatever was the matter, she needed him. And, Johnny, when she needed him, he was there.
And I wasn't, eh?
Ah, Johnny, be sensible. How could you have been?
Yeah, how could I have been?
Anyway, Johnny, whatever was wrong before she started this carry-on with Tom. There was a spell when she was living it up, existing on pills and going to psychiatrists. The full set.
And you've no idea why?
None at all.
When did you say she was last seen?
The 23rd October.
Is that definite?
No, but the funny thing is that three people mentioned that date. Tom Armstrong had lunch with her on the 23rd. On the evening of the 23rd, she saw her mother. Mother says she seemed excited about something. After that, Torquil Haddo saw her in the pub. She left at closing time. He says she was excited about something, too. Oddly enough, they both said they got the impression that she was going to meet a man.
But she never mentioned her name.
No. So the problem remains. Who was she going to meet? And where was she going to meet him? I said goodbye and went out of the little bar into the night that was lighter than the bar was. Then straight ahead of me, I saw a telephone booth. There is always one girl you sometimes think you might have married. And she would have been, could have been, what? It's something akin to the Laura syndrome. The face and the misty light and all that jazz. This girl belonged to that category. But in our house, her father had the monopoly of phone answering. He was a tall, scrub man with a face as red as china. He was something in the city, but the nature of that something no one had ever clearly defined. He was probably quite right to monitor all incoming calls. After all, his daughter was only 28. And the people who called her might all have been people like me.
John Havergal speaking.
This is Johnny Maxson.
Who?
Johnny Maxson. Remember me?
I do indeed.
I thought you might.
And what do you mean by disturbing a clean living household at 10:30 at night?
A really clean living household shouldn't mind being disturbed at any time.
You're an insolent puppy, sir.
I saw you've told me at least a dozen times.
A puppy, sir.
Tell me when your birthday is, Mr. Havergal, and I'll buy you a new epithet.
Now listen to me, sir.
Look, why go on like this? I do it so much better than you.
I thought we were safely rid of you in Paris.
So you were, but I'm back. Temporarily.
Temporarily? Good. That's the first pleasant thing you said tonight.
Is Dorothy still living with you, or is she happy somewhere else?
She is, I'm pleased to say, still in my house, and seeing less and less of disreputable bohemians like you.
Tell her I called.
I shall do nothing of the kind.
Of course you will. You won't be able to resist it, you interesting Victorian survival, you.
Good night, sir.
He was straight out of the Barretts of Wimpole Street. But I was right. He would tell her at great length, but she'd hear only the bits she wanted to hear. She would know what to do and how to go about finding me. And after that, I could play it by ear. The streets were now an abandoned geometry, and there was no place to go but home. So I went back to the flat and found a visitor waiting. Inspector Wardlaw.
How are you, Maxon?
If you keep coming up here, Inspector, you'll have to marry me.
I don't think it's very lucky being married to you.
You're being cryptic again.
We picked up two men for the Armstrong business.
Only two men?
And a boy.
Have they talked?
On a variety of subjects, including you.
So?
I'm wondering if you shouldn't go back to France before you cause any more trouble.
Look, I told you, the trouble had created itself before I arrived.
You didn't raise a hand to minimize it.
What could I have done?
I can understand now why you announced yourself to Armstrong as Mr. Nemesis.
Can you?
You knew what was going to happen to him.
I warned him.
What did you tell him?
I told him that the girl had killed herself and that he was in big trouble.
You didn't mention the three men who were after him.
Did I have to draw pictures for him, Inspector?
Man, the diseased arrogance of you. You think you're above the law.
You're wrong. I just think that justice is above the
law.
Armstrong was responsible for the girl's death, and he would have got away with it. Purely by chance, he didn't. I thought you coppers were dedicated to the principle of a life for a life.
You shouldn't be running around loose, Maxon.
Oh, look, if that's all you've got to say,
I have more to say.
Why not?
Where's your wife, Maxon?
I don't know.
You lied to me once, and you could lie to me again. Where is she?
I haven't the faintest idea. I only wish to heaven I had.
Why?
Because then I could get this thing over and go back to Paris where I'd rather be and you'd sooner have me.
Why is it so important that you see her personally?
Because there are some things that can only be talked out face to face. Because I want to get the whole dreary business over and done with. Because I don't ever want to set foot in this purgatorial city again.
I grow increasingly anxious to find your wife myself.
Well, go ahead and do it.
I was right about that girl.
In what way?
She killed herself in this flat because she was really getting at your wife.
How do you know that?
The boy who hired the two thugs told me.
He told me the girl was mad about Julia. Imitated her clothes, her walk, the lot.
That was before Armstrong told her it was all over and that your Julia was the one.
She was always the one. The girl was probably too young and naive to see it.
I don't think there was any probably about it.
Okay, so you were right about why the girl did it here. What am I supposed to do about it?
You could tell me why you're covering up for your wife.
I am not covering up for her. Man, what is there to cover up for?
There is that little matter of the marijuana cigarette the girl had in her jacket.
But that doesn't have to have anything to do with Julia.
But it could have. They moved in what you might call the same set. And you said already that the girl imitated your wife in everything she did. So the chances are that marijuana was a little thing she picked up from Julia. And marijuana is something I am most strongly against. I would like to know who peddles these funny cigarettes. And if your wife can tell me, she will find me a most attentive listener.
I'll make a bargain with you, Inspector.
I'll listen to your proposition.
As soon as I find my wife, I'll let you know. If you find her first, you let me know.
There's only one snag there.
I fail to see it.
I don't trust you.
I don't trust you either.
On that basis, I accept your offer.
I could almost like you if it didn't break the principles of a lifetime.
Tomorrow we'll go and see your mother-in-law.
I thought you might.
If a girl's best friend is her mother, that seems to me a logical place to start searching.
I'll be there.
I had a wee look around before you came in.
Standard procedure?
Oh, I thought there might be a diary or something.
Julia never kept a diary. Too arduous. Besides, she didn't need one. She had total recall.
Not always a happy endowment.
Either to have or to have to live with.
Yes, indeed. There were some letters.
Don't tell me you're trying to spare my feelings.
I might be at that.
Love letters?
Oh, hardly that.
Let me try a sample.
Here you are. One of the mild ones.
Filth.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. I'll take them away and have them checked for dabs. I'll let the handwriting chaps have a look at them, too.
I suppose you want my fingerprints, too.
I already have them.
You don't miss a trick, do you?
Oh, it has been known. Not frequently, but it has been known.
Now, where did I last leave my fingerprints?
On the percolator. You made coffee for me the last time I was here. Or was it the time before? There was something else.
What?
Well,
Man, it has to be good to top that load of obscenity.
No, Maxon, whatever it is not good. In fact, it is one of the cruelest things I've ever come across in my life. If I remember right, your daughter was called Sarah.
What about Sarah?
This. And this.
Birthday card?
Inscribed, Happy Birthday, Sarah. And each one with a date.
But...
Exactly. This date is last year. That one is this year. And your daughter was drowned 3 years ago.
I'll kill the man who did this.
How do you know it was a man?
What kind of woman would send birthday cards to the mother of a dead child?
Oh, there are some who would do anything. I wonder how your wife felt when she received them.
Poor Julia. The poor lost soul.
I'm glad to see you're not entirely devoid of pity. Perhaps there's hope for you yet. Perhaps inside you there's a human being struggling to get out.
Oh, why don't you move in here permanently or go away and leave me alone?
I think I prefer to go. Indeed, I'll go away right now. But not for long. I'll be back tomorrow to begin the search for poor, lost Julia.
In the morning, the mist was thick and oyster-colored. I got washed and shaved and dressed in time to meet a little woman coming along the hall. She was so small you could have worn 3 or 4 of her on a charm bracelet. Her name, I learned later, was Hannah. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Cold out there?
Oh, it's right bitter. And this fog, oh, it goes for my bronchitis.
I take it you're the cleaner.
Ah, that's right. Hannah Galatly.
When were you last paid, Hannah?
But 3 months ago.
How much is 3 months' money?
Oh, you're not owing me that much.
No?
Oh, no. No, I've been in the infirmary.
Oh, nothing serious, I hope.
Oh, just some women's trouble. Where's Mrs. Maxon?
As far as I can gather, she's been away for some time. Since the 23rd of October, to be exact.
Would that be a Friday?
It was.
That was when I last seen her. I went into the infirmary the following Monday.
How was she that day?
What do you mean?
Did she seem happier than usual or more depressed?
Just the same as she always was. Here, are you one of the divorce detectives or something?
Have you been expecting one?
Well, if you are, you can get out of here right now.
I'm her husband.
Aye, you look like it.
I assure you I am.
Oh.
I can see you've heard of me.
I have that.
And nothing good either.
You can say that again.
Oh, well, I speak very highly of her too.
And well you may. She's an angel.
That's not the way I remember her.
Well, I'll never forget what she did for us when my eldest boy got into yon bother.
What did he do?
Nicked lead off a roof.
And what did Julia do for you?
Stood by us. That's what she did.
Bully for her.
There's no need to be sarcastic.
I wasn't meaning to be.
What are you doing back here anyway? You're no needed.
So I gather.
You're better off without you.
Now, that we could argue about.
Here. What happened to the percolator in the kitchen?
Oh, the police took it away.
The police? What for?
It had my fingerprints on it. They think I'm a sexual maniac.
You keep away from me. Now keep away from me or I'll belt you with my handbag.
Look, Hannah, I don't think you'd better touch the flat today.
What are you talking about?
I don't think the police would like the place disturbed.
Oh, I know.
You should read the papers.
And when would I get time to read the papers?
Did you know Tom Armstrong?
Oh, well, that you...
At last, common ground.
Has he done anything?
He was beaten up and died.
Not here.
In his office.
Oh. Then... What way can I know clean this place?
Because a girl called Sandra Bailey committed suicide in the bedroom the other night.
She's not still there.
No, the police looked after that cleaning job themselves.
You should hear yourself. You should just hear yourself. And where's Julia this time?
We're trying to contact her.
Well, maybe she'll be doing it at that cottage of hers.
We don't think so.
Well, wherever she is, if she needs someone to stand by her, she knows where to come to.
I'm sure she does.
Somebody at the door. I'll see who it is.
Good morning to you. I was looking for Mr. Maxon.
Well, there he is.
Good morning to you, Maxon.
And to you, Inspector.
I have a car at the door.
And where are we going?
We run in the country.
In this fog?
The forecast says it'll clear before noon.
And the object of this excursion?
We think we may have found your lost wife.
The fourth part of The Same River Twice, a serial in 8 parts by Edward Boyd, was produced for the BBC by Eddie Fraser.